Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. These worship singers and these musicians, haven't they done a wonderful job today leading us in praise and worship? Amen. And it takes a lot of things to make church roll, make it happen. And it takes good leadership to keep that going in the right direction. And so before I leave this pulpit for the last time today, I want to say again, Brother Johnson, you'll be used to Bishop by the time the day's over. There are a lot worse things that... That's right. Just want to make sure you knew that. But wherever this church goes, it's going to have this in its foundation. It's going to have this in its foundation. Amen. And so, I so appreciate the influence that these good people have had in my life, the friendship that Brother Tim Johnson, Sister Michelle Johnson, and their family, our families have just kind of meshed, and it's been great having them just an hour and 10 minutes away. And we get together about every Friday night. And it's amazing how busy we get, and we have good friends. That's a good mark of a good friend, is you can go a long time without seeing them, and when you see them, you just pick up and take right off where you left off, and that's when you know you got a good friend. You don't have to explain where you've been, and I appreciate that about these good people, and I love them so much, love this church, and it's been a joy of mine in the last 2 or 3 years to be able to work, even with the team here in this church that Elder Johnson has put together. What an awesome, awesome place. And I mean that. I'm a preacher's kid. I don't just throw words out unless I mean them. I mean that. And it is contributed to some very, very good leadership. I think the whole service has been beautiful. And I also think it's beautiful that the choice of speaker today is not just a family member, but it's someone that's well-respected in this family. That says a lot within itself. That says a lot within itself. Amen. Pastor Weeks is very respected in his family and in this local church. And so I think it's very, very fitting and very, very beautiful today that we welcome him back to this pulpit to preach to us today. Would you welcome Pastor Weeks?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. He's the one that's deserving and worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, the old song says, and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. My heart is filled with thanksgiving today. And although I've looked around in this building today and I've seen quite a few tears already has been shed, because this means so much to all of us. This is a special moment because it represents a wonderful past. And it also represents a glorious future. Amen. And so, to get from a wonderful past to a glorious future, transition is necessary. And so, we are at a juncture, we are at a river crossing today called transition. And I'd like to honor all the ministry here today. We honor you, we salute you all in Jesus' name. I love the ministry and thank God for all of you and what you stand for, the message that you uphold. We also honor the years of faithfulness. I have not come to instruct today somebody that has pastored for 40 years. It's not a lot to tell them. And now Pastor Johnson, Elder Johnson, With Pastor Johnson, he's not a novice. He's not somebody that's just starting out. He has been a vital part of this ministry for many years now. So he's just stepping into a little different role Amen. So I'm not here to instruct today as much as just to encourage and do my best to inspire and be a blessing. Amen. And I know that I'm not supposed to go very long. And Brother Thrasher has said there's some formality to come. But that's not while I'm up here. I hope there's no formality while I'm up here. But I just want to talk about years of faithfulness that have already transpired and years of faithfulness, should the Lord tarry, that I believe is going to come in our future. First Chronicles chapter number 22 is where I would like to read, and I would also like to read a few verses of Scripture in Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. Now, I'm telling you, it's so sappy around here. I could just about break down and squall myself. But I'm going to do my best not to. And, you know, y'all were just moving and grooving and getting with it and worshiping a while ago, and all these preachers got up here and killed it. And, no, I'm teasing. But I hope you're ready for the Word of the Lord. This is an apostolic church, and we believe in apostolic preaching. And apostolic preaching is a two-way situation. Well, some churches it is. Amen. This church knows how to preach with the preacher. Amen. And I hope today will be no different. I get long-winded when people don't help me. So I read this week about a census taker who was in the backwoods country going from house to house and came up on an old dilapidated house, and there was a young girl sitting on the porch. He said, young lady, is your father home? She said, no, he's in jail. And he's in jail. I said, yeah, he shot a lawman. I said, well, where's your mother? She said, well, she's not here either. She run off with the sheriff that prosecuted my father. Well, do you have a brother? She said, yeah, I've got a brother, but he's in an insane asylum. Said, well, do you have any more siblings? She said, yeah, I've got another brother. He's at Harvard. Said, wow, finally there's some hope here. He's at Harvard. What's he studying? She said, oh, he's not studying. They're studying him. So we're living in a day of dysfunctional families. We're living in a day of dysfunctional families. And Elder and Mom John, Bishop and Bishopette, however that goes. Amen. We love you very much. You started it. I'd like for Elder and Mom Johnson to come and sit to my left tonight or today. Well, it might be tonight. I don't know. But I'd like for Pastor and Sister Johnson to sit here to my right, if they will. And this is a special time. I believe it's special to all of us. And we only do this once. And so, let's make the best of it. How about it? Amen. First Chronicles chapter number 22 and verse number 17. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Then I would like to turn back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. 12 stones ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Verse number 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. I want to talk about today the three R's of a successful transition. The three R's of a successful transition. Lord, we come to this place, such a special place, such a special time in our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that has gone before us, all that has been given to us. And Lord, we also look with expectation toward the future. We pray that your blessing, your anointing, your glory would be upon this place and this house for these next few moments. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you today. 40 years. Everybody say 40 years. 40 years is a long time. 40 years is a significant amount of time. In fact, 40 years has a special meaning within the pages of Scripture. You will look there, you find that the leadership of Moses lasted exactly 40 years. You find that the singing, songwriter, warrior King David reigned over Israel for the length of 40 years. You find that the wise man Solomon ruled during the greatest era of peace and prosperity that Jerusalem had ever known, but it came about in the span of 40 years. What a difference 40 years can make. Hallelujah. What a difference 40 years can make. I want to tell you today that the investment of 40 years, the investment of 40 years is not insignificant to God. The investment that Moses made, 40 years of investment of leadership and faithfulness and meekness and selflessness, that God took that 40 years and propelled Israel into the promises that He had made to them. That at the end of David's 40 years, those 40 years invested were wrapped up into a kingdom and a son and a man and a ruler who would make a mark on his world and build the greatest monument and build the greatest memorial that religion has ever known. What a difference 40 years can make. Now, I want to give you three things here today that we do with transition. If we're going to take this David investment and have a Solomon kingdom, if we're going to take this Moses investment and have a Joshua type of victory and a Joshua generation, let me give you three things that we've got to do as a church and as a people and as a kingdom. I didn't come to preach to Pastor Elder Johnson. I didn't come to preach to Pastor Johnson. I came to preach to Landmark Pentecostal Church today.
amen, is what are we going to do with the 40 years that's been invested in us? 40 years makes such a difference. On the day that Moses received the call of God, and he heard a voice out of that burning bush, and he got a commission, and he heard that message, and God gave him a purpose, and he gave his life meaning, and he gave him a message to preach. Amen. At the beginning of that, Pharaoh was in charge, and Pharaoh thought he was God. And the children of Israel, they were in bondage, and they had been slaves for so long, they thought that they would always be slaves. But at the end of that 40 years, the children of Israel were perched upon the edge of the promised land, looking across the Jordan River to everything that God was going to give them. They were so close to the land that flowed with milk and honey at the end of 40 years. It was a long way from the day that God called Moses in the desert and talked to him when he was just taking care of a few sheep. And the end of that 40 years, when they stood there looking at everything that God was about to give them, what a difference 40 years can make. Amen. At the end of 40 years, here they were. They carried with them a tabernacle. They carried with them an ark of the covenant. They carried with them a sanctified priesthood. Amen. They carried a knowledge of how to worship and a knowledge of how to approach God. A knowledge of what was ordained by God and what was cursed by God. Amen. At the end of those 40 years. Amen. Now they were at the end of the 40 years of Moses. Now they were acquainted with God's presence. Now they knew what it was to follow a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now they were acquainted with the faithfulness of God, how that He could provide for them every day. He could put manna at their doorstep every day. He could cause water to flow out of a rock and quench their thirst every day. He could cause their clothes to never become threadbare and their shoes to never wear out. They knew something about God that they could take with them into the future because of a 40-year investment that had been made by Moses. Amen. Moses would lay his hand upon Joshua and impart to him his honor and impart to him his spirit and his wisdom. And Joshua could walk out of this encounter fresh with the anointing of God and with the words, the commandments of Moses echoing still in his ears, and march the people confidently across Jordan and take the land and go from one victory after another. Amen. One city after another. I believe that's where this church is perched today. I believe that you're going to take a 40-year investment from Dad Johnson and Mom Johnson and march across the obstacles that stand in your way and take the land that God has promised you. Anybody believe that today? Moses hadn't been perfect. He didn't do everything just like he should have done. You show me a man in 40 years that's perfect. Amen. But Joshua never said, you know, if Moses would have done things different. You know, if Moses hadn't have got so mad at people and smote the rock, he never said that. He just took everything that had been invested and said, let's go, boys. Let's do it. Let's march across that river. Amen. When David became king at the beginning of those 40 years, Israel was in defeat. Saul's body had been left to rot on the battlefield. The bodies of his sons had been disgraced and disrespected and dishonored by the Philistines. And Israel had been demoralized by defeat. That was at the beginning of David's 40 years. It was a divided kingdom. It was a kingdom full of strife. It was a kingdom full of factions at the beginning of 40 years. But when David was on his deathbed and called Solomon in to give him the final charge, brother, at the end of those 40 years, every nation recognized that Israel was superior. Every nation around them paid tribute. Every nation brought gifts around them. It was a far cry at the end of David's 40 years. Amen. From what it had been at the beginning. At the end of 40 years, there are storehouses full of gold and silver. There are treasures that have been put up and are in store for Solomon to build a house for the glory of God, to build a temple. Hallelujah. I believe we've got a Joshua generation that's going to take the 40 years of Moses. And I believe we've got a Solomon kingdom that's going to take the 40 years of David and say, let's build a house and let's take the land and let's see what God will do. Amen. Praise God. There was no comparison to what the children of the Hebrews were when Moses began his ministry and what it was after he led them 40 years. There's no comparison what the kingdom of Israel was when David stepped into the kingship and what it was when he passed the kingdom on to his son Solomon. Can I tell you, 40 years ago, there was no landmark Pentecostal church in Lebanon, Tennessee. There was no beautiful sanctuary and Family Life Center gym at 3762 Murfreesboro Road, dedicated to preaching the apostolic doctrine. What a difference 40 years makes. There was no apostolic congregation that knows how to worship and that knows how to pray and knows how to walk with God and knows about the things of God. Oh, no. 40 years of investment has put a strong church and a solid congregation. And hallelujah. Amen. I look at Brandon Kenny, Mark Kenny, and David Kenny, you Kenny boys. Amen. Raising their family. I'm missing one, I know. But Eric, how could I miss Eric? Where's Eric at? Oh, it's because he wasn't in here. That's what happens when you stay out while the preacher's preaching, I tell you what. I'm teasing. He was busy. He was doing what he was asked to do. I'm just teasing. But I look at young men that have been raised every day, Sunday after Sunday. Midweek Bible study. Vacation Bible school. Christian school day by day. All of the things that has gone together. And I don't want to make anybody mad because I can't mention anybody's name. But I look at Brother Chris Lowry, Brother Matt Lowry, raising their children. Said, love the pastor. And 40 years ago, that wasn't the case. It was just a man and a woman of God that said, we want to do something. And we want to invest our lives in the work of God. Amen. There wasn't a brother and sister Cannon with all their grandbabies in the church. All them Cannon brats. I can say that. I'm kin to some of them. I can say that. No, I'm teasing. Amen. But what a difference that 40 years makes. And here we are, all of us can testify. The reason I am what I am, Brother Wood, is because the investment that a Moses-like ministry and a David-like ministry. I don't believe it's any accident that 40 years, they join the ranks today. They join the ranks. When Abraham Lincoln passed away, one of his, I think it was Secretary of War, Stanton, said, now he belongs to the ages. Well, they're not dead, but I'm going to tell you, now they belong to the ranks of great leadership. This is what it is after 40 years. And we're thankful for it. Amen. Thankful for it.
the first piece of ground that General Eisenhower ever owned was a farm that he bought in Gettysburg after World War II. He was asked by a courthouse clerk when he was making the purchase why he would buy that particular piece of property. General Eisenhower said, "You know, all my life I have lived on an army post. But when I die, I want to leave a piece of earth to somebody. And I want to leave it to God better than I found it." On behalf of Landmark Pentecostal Church and the ministers, Dad and Mom Johnson, that you have influenced through the years, we thank you today that no, you're not leaving the ministry, but as you step into a different role, all of us are better than how you found us. We've been made better. I look around and I see men and women, brothers and sisters, saints of God, that can testify, I'm a lot better because of what you taught me, because of what you gave me, because of how you loved me, because how you dealt with me. I'm a better man, a better woman, a better child of God than I was when you found me. This piece of ground is better. Amen. Praise God. Last December, December 23rd, 2012, Sister Shirley Conger went to be with the Lord. Better than what she had been 38 years before when you found her. Last Saturday, we buried Sister Darlene Godin. She passed away on December 23rd, 2013. She went to glory, Brother Roden, better than that 19-year-old that the Johnsons took in when they found her. This church is a far cry from its small beginnings in McClinney, Florida, in the early 1970s. Because of a 40-year investment, what you see today, it didn't come easy, and it didn't happen overnight, and it has not been without its tribulations and trials, but it's better today because of a 40-year investment. Amen. There was a pastor that was discouraged, old brother D.L. Welch. He was talking about him this week. Brother D.L. Welch called him in. He said, "Son, you want to know how to build a great church?" He said, "Yes, sir." He got his notepad out, got his pen. He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm going to give you the key. I'm going to give you the key." He said, "Yes, sir. Tell me, Brother Welch." And he got ready to write. He said, "You don't have to do that. It's just one four-letter word. Stay." In 40 years, this man stayed. He stayed. You better thank God he stayed with you. He stayed by your side. He stayed with the gospel. In the last 40 years, we've seen preachers go into false doctrine, not Elder Johnson. We've seen preachers fall by the wayside, mishandle their morals, mishandle their money, not Pastor Johnson. In the last 4 years, we saw people get discouraged and just simply quit, but not Elder Johnson. He stayed, and thank God for it. Amen. Praise God. We've got a wonderful heritage. We also have a glorious future. The first thing that is so important to us in these 3 R's of transition, the first thing is respect. The ability to respect. There should always be the ability to respect where we've been and what has gone before us. The only way that we'll know where we're going is if we know where we have been. Is if we know what our heritage is. And you have a
wonderful heritage today. I want to remind Landmark today that you have a wonderful heritage. Whatever God does in this place, don't forget your heritage. However many God adds to the church, whoever leaves, whoever comes, whatever happens, or whatever kind of blessings God sends you, don't forget the wonderful heritage that has been invested in you. You may be able to see further than anybody's ever been able to see, but it's because you're standing on the shoulders of giants. Amen. Respect the past. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joshua had the responsibility of leading Israel across the Jordan into Canaan. As the people began to enter into the land, the Lord commanded Joshua to have 12 stones. And he said this, 12 stones gathered out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You have had a priest that has taken a firm stand. And God wanted them, as they moved into their land flowing with milk and honey, God wanted them always to have a memorial where the priest, his feet had stood firm. And he said, and these stones shall be a memorial until the children of Israel forever. The ability to respect where you have been and respect what has been invested in you. Joshua was on the way to conquering 32 cities in Canaan. He was on the way to pulling down multitudes of heathen kingdoms. And yet, he said, on the way, let's build a memorial to where we've been. And let's remember there was a man of God stood here. And we should always have a memorial that a man of God stood here. Amen. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. I believe the church is on its way to revival. I believe the church is on its way to tremendous growth. A few days ago, I asked that this section right behind this pulpit be cut out, the carpet be cut out and be preserved and framed. Because this is where a man of God stood. I want it to always be remembered and always be a memorial. This is where he stood firm. He stood against sin. He stood against false doctrine. He stood against compromise. He stood for Acts 2:38. He stood for holiness and separation from the world. This is where a man of God stood. I'm not talking about a hireling. I'm not talking about somebody that just was drawing a paycheck and preached a pretty little sermon. Right here, let's have a memorial where a man of God stood. Amen. He stood for worship. Taught you how. Right here. Taught you how to pray. Right here. Taught you how to love your family and be an honest husband and treat your wife right. Treat your husband right. Taught you how to handle your money right because a man of God stood here.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I got a little bit more to preach, but I want to present this to Landmark Pentecostal Church and Pastor and Sister Johnson. I want this to be a memorial. I don't know, you may think I'm out of order doing this, but I'm going to tell you, this is a monument, amen, to a man of God that stood for 40 years. Amen. Every now and then you ought to come by and say, thank God a man of God stood here 40 years. When you get discouraged, you ought to come by and say, thank God for a man that he got discouraged, but he kept standing 40 years. People walked out and said, I'll never be back, but he kept on standing for 40 years. Amen. And I'm telling you, if he can stand, you can stand. And if he can love the truth, you can love the truth. And if he can stay faithful, you can stay faithful.
Amen. Stand in the same spot, same doctrine, same standard, same apostolic worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Where's Jacob? Where'd he go? I was going to have him just. You can be seated. I got just a couple of more minutes. The ability to respect. The second thing I want to mention to you is the ability to receive. The ability to receive. That there's a respect for where we've been. There is also the ability to receive in the present. You know, there's a lot of pastors take churches that have fallen into disrepair and have dwindled down and are encumbered with overwhelming debt or torn apart by strife and division and what have you. Or a church that's in the process of backsliding. Solomon took the kingdom from his father, from a father who had every bit of confidence that he was going to take it higher and take it greater. In fact, David had a promise from God that God had promised him, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies." David never said, "That's not fair, God. He's not going to have to fight the fight that I have. He's not going to have the enemies that I have. And that's not fair." David was glad for the blessings that was going to be in Solomon's life. He said, "I will give him rest from his enemies round about." There's going to be some battles that this generation will not have to be fought because the enemy's already been destroyed in that area. There's some adversaries that will not ever raise their head. Oh, there'll be adversaries, but I'm going to tell you, there's some adversaries you won't ever have to worry about because the past generation has already fought that victory. And now it's time to receive. The ability to receive. And so the day that David charged, he gave him a charge. He gave Solomon a charge. And that's not on that credit cards either. He gave him a charge. Amen. "Solomon, I want you to build the house of the Lord." And Solomon took the charge. And he took the gold. And he took the silver. And he took the jewels. And he took the storehouses of supply, and he took it, and he did something productive with it, and he built a house. One of the last things that David said, "Son, you've got the materials." And he said, he showed him all the materials that was his, and then he showed him the workers. I don't have time to go through it all. He said, "But you've got the material and you've got the workers." And I look around here today. You've got the material for revival and you've got the workers. Got the material. You've got the makings of revival. You've got the makings of a temple. Why don't we take it and do something with it, Landmark? Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you. I told our church, I was 23 when I went there to pastor, and I told them, I said, "You are going to be tempted at times to fall into the trap of comparison. And when everything is going good, you look back and say, boy, I tell you, we're doing so much better now. I tell you what, I tell you back then, they just didn't have what we got now. They just didn't do what we are able to do." I'm telling you, and if you're not careful, you can get lifted up with pride. But the flip side is also true. When things start going against you, your pastor preaches something you don't like or you don't. There was a young pastor told an elder, said, I've been pastoring 10 years and I've never offended anybody. He said, "Son, you ain't preaching nothing. Because if you preach something, somebody's going to get upset and aggravated. Something's not going to go your way." So I'm going to say, then you'll say, well, if, If Elder Johnson was here, he wouldn't have done it that way. If the elder was here, let me tell you, he's not the elder. And you cannot compare Joshua with Moses. You can't compare Solomon with David. So you don't need to sit around and see how things go before you lend your support. You don't need to sit around on the sidelines and find something to criticize and critique before you get on the wagon. Bless your heart, get with the program. Yeah, we need to respect the past, but we're not going to live in the past. You need to learn how to receive in the future. Just like you got behind the elder, get behind your pastor today. Just like you were loyal the last 20 years, make up your mind, hitch up with the anointing, get hits with the vision, and let's go with it. Amen. Now, he said, now you have workmen with thee in abundance. I want to mention this here in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 15. In verse 15, he said, there are workmen. Can I get that on the screen? Y'all don't preach against that, do you? Hopefully. There are workmen with thee in abundance. Solomon, you have got the workers. You've got all the workers you need. You've got plenty in all manner. That's all right. I can quote it. That's fine. He said, in all or in every manner of work. That's a nice picture, by the way. That is a wonderful picture. In every manner of work. In every manner, you got the workers. Solomon, you can do it. You got the workers. Now then, in verse number 17, if y'all can get that, in verse number 17, it said, David also commanded all the princes to help Solomon, his son. Now, he never had to command the workers. He just said, you've got the workers. David, he didn't have to say, now you workers get busy. You don't have to tell workers to work. But the princes, well, it didn't take me 10 years to offend somebody, I can tell you that. The princes were those folks that thought they were somebodies. They were the big shots. They were the ones walked around with nobility. They had to be commanded. I hadn't run out of things to say. I'm wondering if I should say it. If you've got to be commanded to get with the program, it might be because you're too big for your britches. Because you think you're too important. Because you think you can sit around and talk about what's going on rather than making something happen. Amen. There's people that make things happen. There's people that wonder what happened. And then there's people that talk about what happened. Why don't you be somebody that makes it happen? Amen. Praise God. Now, they'll be workers. Thank God you got a church of workers. There may be a few princes that had to, you know, okay, you got your feelings hurt, but help us out. You are important, but help us out. And I don't want to get into that too much, but amen. David said, help my son. There's a work to do. Don't think that this elder, if he comes back in a couple of months and there's four brand new families, that he's going to resent that. Don't think that Mom Johnson's going to come back and say, well, there's people there I don't even know. That's what they're wanting to happen. And don't think, let me tell you something else, don't think that any time something is done, you've got to remind everybody that Mom Johnson wouldn't have done it that way. Or Dad Johnson, that wasn't how he operated. If anybody knows, these folks know. Well, I'm meddling now. Just get with the program. Just get with the program. Amen. And let me tell you something else. I might not should say this, but you don't need to worry, Mom and Dad Johnson. Every little thing, oh, it's not going very good. I'm so-and-so's offended, and I've got my feelings hurt, and I don't know, and I didn't know it was going to be like this. And they don't want to hear that. They've heard you gripe like that for... Anyway. You know what they need to hear? Oh, we love our pastor. We love our pastor's wife. Oh, he preached so wonderful. Oh, heaven come down and blessed us on Sunday. Amen. We're moving forward. We've had a wonderful past, but we are planning to have a glorious future. We don't need complainers. Amen. There's going to be three temptations. Let me tell you, you can be seated. There's three temptations for every saint. Three temptations, every one of you. Three temptations to either whine or recline or shine. All three of those are dangerous. Some of y'all will get that. Do I have to give you a scripture for that too? Amen. You'll either whine or recline or you want to be the one to shine. Praise God. Amen. The ability to receive. This is what God has for us at this moment. Yes, we respect what God has done. But I want to receive what God is doing. You can't go back to what it was 10 years ago. You can't go back to what it was 6 months ago. You can't go back. You've got the material and you've got the workers and you're going to do a work for God. When yesterday is better than today, we are of all people most miserable. The ability to respect, the ability to receive, and the ability to reach. The ability to reach. We respect the past. We receive in the future, but we receive in the present, but we are going to reach for what God has in store for us in the future. Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter how great yesterday was, I believe that God has something for us to anticipate in the future. Don't be a hindrance. Don't get in the way. Don't sit back and be dead weight. Let's reach for the future. There is work to do. Amen. There is work to do. There is work to do. There is work to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, this is what you do. Set your heart and seek the Lord and build the sanctuary. If you can get those three things going in a church, brother. If you can get those three things happening in this Solomon generation, amen, is that you set your heart, make up your mind. Don't wait for to see how things are going to go, if they're going to go your way. Set your heart today. Make up your mind today. Seek the Lord and build the house. Amen. It's time we get a loyalty and a dedication and a commitment to what God is going to do. What God is going to do. Not just to respect and to receive, but to reach. Hallelujah. To reach. Praise God. How many want to reach? How many want to reach? Man, I believe God has great things in store for us.
Amen. I'd like to tell you that everything will go your way, and every day will be sunshining, and everything will be just like you want it to be. It doesn't always work that way. But if you've got a desire to reach, amen, to those things which are before us and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, regardless of what comes or goes. I read recently about these rehab patients that had suffered strokes, and because of there being limited personnel, so much demand and limited personnel in the medical community, they had developed robots to help rehab patients. And they decided to use two different strategies with these robots, with these patients going through rehab and trying to regain their faculties from a stroke. And so they used two different strategies. One was the nice strategy. You've got the nice robot, the polite robot. The robot would say, please sit up. Please place your feet on the floor. Please give me your right hand. Please pull. Thank you. Very good. Good job. You are making progress. That was the nice robot. Then they decided to do another robot, and this was the demanding robot. This robot said, get up now. Roll over on your right side. Stand up straight. And this robot was very demanding and very rebuking. You cannot quit now. You are a sissy. You are too lazy. And they found out with these rehab patients that some folks did so much better with the nice robot. The words please and may I and thank you did so much to warm their hearts. They loved their robot. And they cooperated so well. But there were other patients that please and thank you did not motivate them at all. They needed the mean robot. They needed the robot. You have been in bed too long. You are a dingbat. And that motivated them. They'd get right up and they'd work, they'd exercise. They were into rehab. Let me tell you, sometimes you're going to think the preacher's a nice robot, and sometimes you're going to think he's a mean robot. He may use please and thank you and may I, but sometimes you may walk out of here feeling about this high. But whatever it is, it's for your good. You need the ability to receive and the ability to reach. And there ought to be an attitude that says, if I'm not reaching, Pastor, get on to me. If I'm not reaching, Pastor, preach to me. When I get a little lazy, go ahead and get on my pace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there ought to be a mentality of loyalty get a hold of us. That says, this is my church. Amen. This is a great place to be. This is a great place to bring my children. Hey, I've watched Pastor Johnson for many years. I think about the scripture about Noah in 2 Peter chapter number 2. When he was talking about the world being destroyed and just a few people being saved. And he says, Noah, the eighth person, a preacher. Noah, the eighth person, a preacher. And I read that and said, why didn't he say Noah was the first of eight? Why didn't he say Noah was one among eight? But it said Noah, the eighth person. Because Noah put the needs of a lost world before his own. And he put the needs of his family before His own. He put the demands and the demands of His day, He put them before His own. He was the eighth person. There's a lot of folks who want to be in ministry, but they want to be the first person. They want to be the loudest voice. They want, hey, I've got something to say. But this man has served the house, and he has served the elder. And he has served for many years outside of the spotlight, the eighth person. You want God to bless your ministry? Be the eighth person. Put the other's needs before your own. Put the church's needs before your own. You want to be a Noah? Be the eighth out of eight and see how God will use you. See how God will ordain you and bless you with purpose. Amen. He has been the eighth person, the man in the shadows who's now stepped into the role of leadership. And I'm going to tell you that today he's not earning your loyalty. He has earned it. He is not earning your respect. He has earned your respect. He is not about to face a probationary period where you see if he can cut it. He's already proved that. Amen. Praise God. You know, little boy went to class one day, and some of our folks are here, they've heard me say this, but he went to class one Monday. The teacher had said, anything exciting happened to you over the weekend, you come tell us for show and tell. And little Johnny, he couldn't wait. Man, he had something to say. And the teacher realized that he was just so antsy about telling whatever happened. She said, Johnny, do you have something to tell? He said, oh, yes. He said, this weekend, me and my daddy, we went fishing. And he said, now my daddy's a good fisherman, but I'm a better fisherman than he is. And said, we caught so many catfish. I'm telling you, we caught catfish. In fact, we caught 75 catfish, and they all weighed 75 pounds apiece. She said, now, Johnny, are you sure? Yes, ma'am. We caught 75 catfish, 75 pounds apiece. She said, now, Johnny, now what if I told you on the way to school this morning that on the way to school I was walking along and a great big old grizzly bear jumped out of the woods and come at me, weighed 1,200 pounds, and was just about to get me, and I knew my life was over. But a little 8-pound chihuahua jumped out of the woods on the other side and ran up to that great big old bear, grabbed it by the throat, shook it this way and that way, and shook it, and its neck snapped, and that bear fell over dead. Would you believe that? He said, oh, yes, ma'am, that was my dog. Let me tell you, it don't matter how good things are or how bad things are. You need to walk in here saying, this is my church. This is my pastor. This is my assembly. This is where I pay my tithes. This is where I raise my children. We got it going on, honey. Don't start looking around and say, well, I wish we did. I wish we was doing what somebody else. I wish we was over there. Hey, you need to walk in here saying, this is the greatest God has blessed us. You can't find better music. You can't find better preaching. You can't find better people. You can be seated. And the preachers they have come in as guest speakers are the best in Pentecost. I'm telling you. It was a joke, people. You can laugh. Several years ago, there was a writer, he's written many books, a tremendous, prolific writer by the name of Simon Winchester. He was visiting America. He's an English writer. He was visiting America, and he was visiting 16 towns. All of them go by the name of Paradise. He went to each town, and he interviewed the people. Why was this town named Paradise? And he would find the most ancient inhabitants. He would go to them and he would interview them. He would look at the town. And none of them, in his opinion, lived up to the name of Paradise. One of the smallest communities that he visited was Paradise, Arkansas. It was just a little community on the top of a hill. And the community was dwindling. And there were just a handful of old-timers that still lived there. And so he began to interview them, and he began to look around at the town, and he began to write a few things. And so he visited some of these country folks and talked to them a little bit. And finally, he liked the inhabitants. He enjoyed visiting with them. They were a little backwoodsy for his English taste. But finally, he was sipping iced tea on the porch with some of the old men, and they were talking about days gone by. And he said, "Now, tell me something. Why would this town be called Paradise?" And one of the old-timers, he said, "Well, come with me, and I'll show you." They went to the very top of the hill, and they looked down. He said, "Simon, tell me what you see." He looked down. You could see a long way, and far off in the distance was the muddy, dirty, brown waters of the Mississippi. Mr. Simon Winchester had not been impressed with the Mississippi River. He thought it was very overrated. It said so. And he said, "Well, I see the Mississippi." He said, "Well, what do you see between here and the Mississippi?" He said, "It's just a bunch of swamp, marshes, and I'm sure it's infested with mosquitoes and all kinds of dangerous creatures and disease." He said, "Exactly." He said, "Now I want you to go back to the settlers that built this community. And they had migrated far down several days, come down the Mississippi River in cramped, closed quarters, and they landed on those banks over there, and they began to walk. They began to make their way through. Look at what they had to walk through. Look at what they had to traverse. And they came through the swamp. They came through the marsh, and then they had to climb a hill in the hot Arkansas summer. And when they got to this hill, finally they caught a westerly breeze." And he said, "After all that they had been through, for days floating down the Mississippi, and for days trying to make their way through bogged down in the marsh, and all the time it took to climb to the top of the hill, when they caught that cool breeze on that July evening, somebody said, 'This is paradise.'" You see, this may not be a mega church as you would call it today. This may not be a multi-million dollar facility. There may not be 3,000 people sitting here as you judge by worldly success. You may dismiss what's going on around here. But had you seen where we've been and what the Lord has brought us through, and you've seen how far we've come and what we have suffered and what we have endured, you'd look around and say, "This is paradise. I'm glad to be in paradise today." Why don't you look around here and say, "I'm going to be thankful for what we have. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me." Woo! Welcome to paradise. Pastor and Sister Johnson, welcome to paradise. Landmark Pentecostal Church. God's got great things for us. We've come down the river, and we've come through the swamp, and we've climbed the hill, and I feel a breeze in my spirit that says it's time to enjoy paradise. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say that I am thankful for everyone here today, and we welcome you. I will tell you in the beginning of this, and this will be the final part, we have food prepared. We have a famous Cajun chef, Benjamin Weeks, and his helper, me. And we have cooked étouffée, Brazilian chicken, Brazilian shrimp. See, that's why I'm a helper. Amen. And Canadian chicken. We have it all prepared. We want you to come and help us. Paradise next door. We're going to do it right. But to all of you that are here, we welcome you to all the ministry, to our friends, church family, amen, visitors today. We welcome you here. I want to start out by saying this. I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. I thank God that He has brought us this far. Had it not been for Jesus, we wouldn't have made one step of the way. But He is to be thanked today. To my good wife, the bishopess, who has stuck by me, and this church would not be what it is today were it not for Mom Johnson. Because we as a team. And so I give honor to her. Amen. I give honor to her. Thank you. I am blessed. To Brother Johnson and Sister Johnson and to his family, my family, I thank you for all the years of labor. This church would not be today what it is, had it not been for their help and their support and their backing. And so I give honor to them today. I appreciate them. Laboring tirelessly to Landmark Pentecostal, to what I feel is the best little church east of the Mississippi. Or west, if you're there. I love you. And I thank you for standing, working, laboring, and being the saints of God that you are. I am blessed. I give honor to you today. I am in 100% agreement. My wife and I, Mom and I, are in 100% agreement in this transition. There is no hesitation. There is no, well, maybe, might. I am 100% sure that this is the right decision. I have all the confidence in the world in His ability to lead this church. He has proven it over the days gone by. I would like for Brother Shep, Brother Rogers and Brother Gooden to come up here. These are the board of our church, the elders. They've been with me since Spot was a pup. I feel it's God's will that Brother Johnson take this and Sister Johnson. And Mom and I feel this. But I've asked these men, and I've asked Brother Shep to be the spokesman for Landmark. They are the board. And I want them to express how they feel about a new pastor starting as of when I get done.
Amen. To the bishop, the elder, and to Mom, as a board member for many years now, representing alongside my close friends, Brother Owen Gooden and Brother Craig Rogers, who I call virtually every day for their support, as some of you have mentioned earlier today. It's been a privilege to serve you and to serve Landmark. And I want you to know, and I want the Reverend Timothy S. Johnson and his dear wife, Sister Michelle Johnson, to know, that not only do you have the support of the bishop, you have the 100% unanimous support of the board members of Landmark Pentecostal Church in this installation, in this appointment of your newly appointed, and what I know is going to be heavenly anointed roles as our pastor and pastor's wife. And as a longtime member, if I may, Pastor, I was thinking back 32 years, so we've spent about the last 80% of your 40 years with you, working with you, and I want you to know that it's been a privilege to serve in that regard as well. And I think I speak for all of the families of Landmark, not just the board, but Brother and Sister Johnson, in my communication with the families of Landmark in the last few weeks and months, as this has been a transition that we've been preparing for, I have not heard one negative word. I have not heard one dissenting voice. Therefore, I also stand here, I believe, affirming 100% confirmation, support of every family that comprises Landmark Pentecostal Church. We are looking forward to working with you, working beside you, and working and reaching, as the great pastor from Lake Park, Georgia said, reaching and working with you in that revival that we know God is going to send Lebanon, Tennessee.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. This is very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. You may be seated. I ask you, Brother and Sister Johnson, if you'll come and stand right here before the pulpit. I want to address them today. I am totally and absolutely positive that God has called you and sanctioned you to be the new pastor of this church. I want you to know that we are behind you. In your new journey, I want you to stand firmly upon the Word of God with a made up mind. I charge you today, the writer in Timothy, the apostle said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Not wavering, not one bit in God's principles. Standing firmly on the plan of salvation. Standing firmly upon holiness. Standing firmly upon truth. I charge you, son, to keep balance in the church, that there might be middle ground for everyone to stand and to dwell and to serve. You have those that have and those that have not. Those that are got degrees and those that have no degrees. But I charge you, make an area that no matter where in status you are in life, they feel they have a middle ground, they have a church. Keep balance in yourself in all areas. When opposition comes, and it will come, stand your ground. Stand when you feel you can go no farther. When that time comes, find you an altar. Find you a place with God. Find you a place that you can get help. The only place that's going to carry you through rough times is Almighty God. And He'll bring things out of you that you never thought was in you. I want to talk to Sister Michelle Johnson. I take this from an old country song that we heard 400 years ago. Stand by your man. Protect him. Guard him. Support him. Comfort him. Keep him safe. be his angel. Be a team worker with him. It was Jesus that said this when it was evident that the Apostle Peter was going to be the head of the church. It was evident that he would be the one that would be the spokesman, the man that would set it in motion to keep it going and going on with revival. He made this statement three times. The first time he said, "You love me?" He said, "I do." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again, "Do you love me or lovest thou me?" And he said, "I do." He said, "Feed my sheep." And the last time he emphasized it and he said, "I want you to feed my, if you love me, feed my sheep." I don't think he was talking about a fish fry. I don't think he was talking about something that was just going to basically be a meal somewhere they would serve. But what he was talking about was this: take care of my sheep. They're in your hands now. That's what he said. And I want you to take care of my sheep. I've asked, and I want my grandson to bring it to me. There is a plaque that we have made. Hold it up so they can see. It has been signed by the members of Landmark. These are people, families. Head of every family and every one over 18, I had them sign this. These are people that I have cared for. Some of them 39 years. I have fed them. No longer will I be their pastor. Mom and I want to present this to Brother and Sister Johnson. Pastor and Sister Johnson, I want you to care, love, and take care of these sheep. I have all confidence in the world. I've seen you do it. I've seen what's happening. Mom, help me. I would ask the ministry, brethren, come and help me. We're going to pray. If you will, come up. And we're going to ask the Lord, because He cannot do it by Himself. But with God's help, prayers of the ministry, revival is going to come to Landmark. And we're going to see it happen. In Jesus' name. talking days are over.
I could probably attempt to say a whole lot. I guess I'm just, you know what kind of man Dad is. You know what kind of preacher Mom is. I mean, we have lived truly, truly, truly. This has been our life, our people, this church, this body has been our life. And I guess because our calling is here, I've never felt the anointing like I do when I'm at home, because this is where I feel God placed us. But I could say a lot about them, and we do. I honor them, and every day I have always said anything with two heads is a monster, and I've always run every decision and never done anything on my own in the church without first consulting Mom and Pastor. And I really, feel like that's why God's always blessed what we've done, and God is blessing it. But more than anything, I am grateful today. I am thankful. I feel honored in honoring them. It is an honor to me that He would entrust you in this beautiful plaque. Every one of these names represents a story. Because for every step of those 40 years, I've been right here. With every name and every line. And I've seen these two blank ones right here. And I'm glad you left two blank ones, because that represents the future saints that are going to be coming. And that represents kind of like when you do a sentence and you get that dot, 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 and that et cetera, and that so on and so forth. What these represent are many more names down here. And if 40 years go by, Then I imagine, I hope and pray that, and I hope to God, I hope I'm still here, but I don't think I'm going to stay here 40 years. I'm like that other brother. I'll try to do it in 20. But I am grateful for what they've entrusted us with, but I'm excited about what tomorrow holds. I'm excited about the future. Amen. And so, I am another thing besides these little blanks down here that represent souls. I am ever so grateful for Mom and Dad, but I'm so grateful for the wife that God's given me and the family that God's given me. And not only naturally, but spiritually, all of you here, all of you men, thank you. All of you, the ministry that have came, you other pastors and preachers, thank you. You have no idea what that means and what it speaks to me. Thank you so much. For being our friend and being here. God bless you. I appreciate you. And all the ministry of our church, all the lay ministers that we've worked with side by side for so many years, thank you. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. You brethren, you ones we've already got with and department heads already lined out, we're not just starting this thing. This thing's got a map and a course and a plan and a short range and a long range. Pastor's always been a visionary, so we've been planning this thing for a long time. And so I'm honored and I'm grateful to them, but also to you, Landmark. Thank you so much. It is an honor to be called your pastor. It is an honor to work with you. I know my wife, she's not much of a talker up here, but she's asked me several times up here, are you sure you don't want me to testify? And I said, my God, we've not even got here yet, and you're acting like Mom. But I am so thankful for them. So thankful for her. And brother, she truly is awesome. She truly is awesome. In every area, she keeps it. I guess she's a lot more like my father than I am. And I'm a lot like my mother. The skill's there, but there's a whole lot of loving in between there. A whole lot of may I's and please, Brother Weeks. I'm sure they'll be both robots along the way, but I am honored and in awe, and I say thank you. I'm grateful to all of you. But before we dismiss and go eat. They have a little presentation they want to give, and we've got a little something together, and we got a little something planned. Just giving Brother B a second to get back there. But what do you give? And like Brother Weeks said, how do you give words of advice to a man that's been pastoring for 40 years and has been your pastor for 40 years? And every Father's Day and every birthday, they say to Sister Johnson and I, what can we get, Pastor? What can we do for him? What do you get somebody that's already got everything? I mean, and that's true what they say. And if you don't believe me, go look at our barn. It's got everything. From McClenny, when we first started, we still have bicycles there that we've never ridden. But one thing we did is we looked far and wide. They like to go, and they like to travel, and they like to throughout the summer. They like to go places. So we had to look long ways to find a place they haven't been. So Maestro, if you will, cue the music.
Word. Aloha.
Throughout the course of the service, you've heard several comments and references made to managing your money and handling your money. And so the trip to Hawaii was for Mom to relax, and what's represented in this card is for Dad. Thank you to all of you, those of you that haven't given, you haven't to the end of January. But thank you to all of you, ministry, preachers, friends and family, my Aunt Chachi for coming up, it's my mom's sister, Brianna, thank you so much. For Uncle Ben, Brother Weeks did an amazing job. Couldn't have asked for anything better. To my sister, to my sister, I do appreciate, Brother and Sister Weeks. You have no idea what their friendship means to my wife and I and our family. You have to call him Brother Weeks. I get to say Uncle Ben. And so that's an honor. I usually say it's my claim to fame, but they really are a rock in our family. And their friendship, and I feel only will get stronger as the days go by. And to my beautiful niece, Abigail, thank you so much for bringing your mom and dad with you. But it's good to have all of you. It's good to see my daughter and my grandson and my son-in-law. They go to Brother Holloway's church. He's doing a wonderful job with my family. So I want to say to them, thank you for coming. Amen. Just leave Weston when you go. Amen. But to all of you, God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm glad my son and his wife and my grandbaby and my youngest son, Jordan, I don't want to leave him out. Amen. Jordan, come up here with me, buddy. This is my other right arm right here, Jordan. And I'm grateful. Thank you, brother. And you never know, Brother Thrasher, your friendship, Brother Harry, and all of you men, Brother Shup, for what you said. Brother Texter, that story is true. What he didn't tell you was the very first time I met him, the very first time. Okay, my family, if you would, just come on up here. Yeah, if you will, all of my family. Just come up, Jackie. Bring Weston. Come on, Lacey. But the first time I met Brother Texture, it was in a softball game at youth camp. And I don't remember how it happened, but this guy out in the field, somebody had hit a ball, and man, he fired up and run up there, and his brother said, hey, I think it was your dad, correct? And they caught the ball, vice versa, but that started a friendship a long time ago. It was in a softball game at youth camp. Amen. And I am glad that today of all days, our paths have crossed again. It's been a long time. Amen. And so I think we need to work on that. But to all of you, Brother Taylor, Brother Mills, Brother Trevino, a tremendous friend, and everybody, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I just want to say thank you to those men. Dad came into your life. Well, I think some of you men are put in my life for a reason. Amen. So wear Bluetooth just for me. Amen. God bless you. We're fixing to eat, but Brother and Sister Weeks probably ought to get up in here somewhere, hadn't they? Come on. Abby, come on up here. Yes, my sister. Aunt Chauncey, are you going to slip up here? What we are, they're responsible right here. And so to them I say thank you. But for the revival that's going to be to you, Landmark, I say thank you. It'll be because of you and us working together. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. We're fixing to eat. I'm going to ask my dad, if he will, to pray over the food. But everyone, every one of you, you are welcome. We invite you to come and just relax and enjoy a meal with us.
Lord, we thank you today for your goodness to all of your people here today. We pray a blessing be upon each home, upon each family. As we go to eat today, we ask you to bless the food, the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies for your service. We give you praise. The name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's go eat.